morning. Welcome to the Sussex County Council meeting, September 11, 2018. First thing will be approved the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I have no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Can I motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We have the minutes of August 21st. Any corrections or questions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I do have one letter, and it's from Rehoboth Summer Children's Theater, and it's thanking the County Council for the $500 grant. And that is all.
Thank you, sir. Any correspondence from council?
I have one comment.
Mr. Wilson.
Since this hurricane's come this way, it is almost, it's like inevitable getting here. So what I can say is God is in control. So all we should do is pray and ask maybe God just send the thing back to the city somewhere.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Anything else, Mr. Cole?
No, I got a
anyone? Public comments? Mr. Guy? Okay. As I call these names off, anybody that's here for the public hearing at 10:30, that's the time to speak then, not this time before council, but Paul Rieger. Paul Rieger. Mr. Rieger?
Yeah. Your 3 minutes soon will be up.
It's going to start now.
Okay. As we're aware of fighting with definitions and getting clarity for definitions in the county code, way back, assisted living facilities and stuff had come up in front of the board different numerous occasions. And if you look at the definitions under special use exceptions, then you look at the commercial code, you have different things advertised for homes for the aged, convalescent, et cetera, and something else. But when you listen to this hearing a couple weeks ago or a month ago, whatever it was, at planning and zoning, it was that basically during the conversation, assisted living facility kept coming up through it from everybody there. Now, this facility is a big lot, 44 acres, bunch of senior living housing, assisted living facility. I consider the big thing, the big building in there to be an industrial type building or something like that, considered assisted living facility. Now, my major problem is I don't feel or agree or even understand a little bit how a project of this scale could even go in front of Board of Adjustment. Board of Adjustment members from a December 15th Rules of Procedure meeting that I listened to. They don't go out, they were told by the Assistant County Attorney not to inspect or visit sites. As to where planning and zoning is recommended to go visit the sites, do due diligence, and be more geared towards planning and zoning. With this being an assisted living facility, more than anything else, it should not have been a special use listing to be kicked down there. You had Jerry Burke came in for that little minor problem over there, for example, it went planning and zoning even, and then the county council. SDR came in, something simple, planning and zoning, county council. The thing, which you're putting something, a project that should not be under their control. They should not be even considering this sort of a project or even close to this project for what they do. They don't discuss hardly, they don't, when they go to question the applicants, their questioning is very minimal. I believe there was a bunch of members there that didn't even ask a question on this. Just pass the approval, go for it. Do what you got to do. It's just something as to where as the listing, the advertising, it should have been advertised, home for age also should have had assisted living in there. That's been thrown around. You spend many, many thousands dollars and hours doing your commercial code and coming up with that schematic. And the way that the hearing went was saying, well, one's across the street, different parcel, different purchase. So now anybody who has anything in that nature now wants to come in, buy the parcel next to it. Does this automatically just say, well, it's across the street or it's down the road, green light it back in under that? This should have been brought to planning and zoning, should have been kicked back up to county council, run through the process, whether conditional or change of zone, should not have gone to Board of Adjustment.
Thanks, sir. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I'd like to know how you can even consider something this morning under old business. Let's see. Conditional use number 2129, filed on behalf of Lesser Builders. How can you even consider that when the ad, when it was advertised, wasn't correctly advertised? Absolutely was not correctly advertised. And it should go back and be redone because it was and advertised correctly.
Thank you, sir. Virginia Weller. Virginia Weller.
Ellendale Council was disappointed that we were the last to find out that there was yet another referendum so shortly after the last one failed that was supposed to be the last attempt by County Council for a water system. Understanding that this water district is larger than the town, it would have been nice to include a member of Town Council in the initial stages of the proposed new system, seeing as how it was going to include part of the town residents. As stated in previous conversations, we do not want to keep clean, healthy water from anyone who needs it, but the fact that this includes part of our residents, we should have been included from the beginning. This water system would have adverse effects on our desire for annexation and growth, and it will impact funding we receive, such as CDBG monies and other grants that could potentially be used for in town use, that will now go to a system we were not included on the process of, even though it was includes part of our town. This just is not how the town should have found out about this water system. After signs were placed along North and South Old State Road, sending some of our in-town and some of our out-of-town residents into worry and concern, making the town look as if it was sneaking in another attempt when the town knew nothing of this system until essentially the same time they were finding out. We feel the town was left out intentionally and do not think that is the appropriate way to do business. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Sue Claire Harper.
I would like to speak at the time for the buffer for hearing.
Chairman. Robert Harris.
Same thing.
Same.
Thank you, sir. Keith Steck. Must not be a buffer conversation.
Hi, my name is Keith Steck. I live in Milton. I'm here to discuss concerns about the Board of Adjustments operation and the County Council's oversight of the board. First, let me ask why County Council is just now getting around to filling a position for District 2 on the board or the reappointment of Brent Workman to the board. This is almost the middle of September. I believe under your procedures, it should have been done in June. So the question is this late appointment still valid? Second, the Board of Adjustment is not making not taking its responsibilities for protecting the public's health and lives seriously. Case in point is the Alan Harim deboning request. There are so many procedural and other problems with this case that there's already been one lawsuit filed. Now the board is trying to decide how to handle Harim's request to basically start its deboning operation without any spray field or mechanism for handling wastewater that includes sewage and other sanitary wastewater. Neither the original hearing nor the latest one has been fair or thorough. The board is putting profits over people. This council needs to have a special session to address egregious problems with this board. The Board of Adjustment cannot and has not fully addressed complex cases like Harim's. This council needs to create a special board for dealing with complex problems. And I'll be glad to be your first witness. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. R.C. Willen.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Next thing is the presentation of the Legal Voters of Sussex County.
So my assume, there we go.
Good morning, Mr. President and members of council. I am B.R. Breen, representing the League of Women Voters of Sussex County. The League is a nonpartisan political organization encouraging active participation in government through education and advocacy. I'm here along with other members of the League, and if they would please stand, I would appreciate it. As part of our mission, we regularly attend and observe government meetings to ensure that transparency in government and open meeting laws are followed. We also monitor government meetings to track the progress of issues that are of importance to the League, including voting, sustainable communities, social, fiscal, and environmental issues. Each year, we present a report to County Council, our Sunshine Report, that highlights our findings. For the past 9 years, the Observer Corps of the League has attended the meetings of Sussex County Council, Planning and Zoning, and school boards. Here are our findings of this past year. First, citizen participation and access and right to know. The public comment period at the beginning of Council's agenda and the enforcement of the 3-minute public comment time limit has worked well. In public hearings, even the largely attended ones, they've been fair and open to all views and comments. Perhaps some consideration, if legal, should be given to a time limit on public hearing comments so citizens and council members can hear all viewpoints in a reasonable amount of time. We are extremely grateful to Administrator Todd Lawson for offering County Council chambers as an ideal venue for us to hold our ongoing public education forums on issues related to the 2018 Comprehensive Plan and clean water. Clerk of the Council Robin Griffith and IT Support Specialist Amanda Hollis assisted us in laying the groundwork to ensure that our forums proceed smoothly. Our focus continues to be public engagement with knowledgeable professionals with whom the citizens can interact on vital issues such as smart land use and the environment. We look forward to holding more forum in the years to come. The addition of security at County Council chambers, a positive safety improvement, has not impeded public access. The new ordinance prohibiting firearms in county buildings, except for special use permits, is welcome. Under the direction of Sussex Director of Planning and Zoning, Janelle Cornwell, the county has made every effort to involve the public in the drafting of the 2018 comp plan through its interactive website and in community meetings. This intent was reflected in both the lengthy deliberations of the Planning and Zoning Commission and in the discussions subsequently held in county council meetings. The second area is clarification in county procedures, policies, and ordinances. Over the past year, positive improvements have been made in the clarification and uniformity of council procedures, policies, and ordinances. Examples are the additional commercial zoning classifications, rewriting of county ordinances, reapplication for conditional use amendments, clearer water and sewer regulations and fees, detailed signage ordinances, and special events clarifications. In the area of land use decisions, the League supports Council's consideration of consistency with surrounding fixed growth areas in the county's decisions on land use, specifically the decisions on Overbrook Town Center and the Fitness Center on Savannah Road. Council's suggestion that setbacks and other conditions in the healthcare developments along King's Highway, that they be compatible with the Lewis Scenic and Historic Byway Plan is a welcome and crucial step in future planning. And recent land use decisions seem to be influenced by and consistent with the forward thinking of the new comp plan. Since ordinances relevant to the 2018 comp plan are crucial to making the plan a meaningful document, the League maintains a keen interest in seeing which ordinances are drafted and subsequently adopted. We agree with the concern Council has expressed that the drafting of these ordinances proceed without delay so that the concepts contained in the plan will carry the force of law. In area of concerns, to protect the welfare of our citizens, the ongoing expansion of the poultry industry and the proximity to residential areas continues to need the attention of Council and Planning and Zoning. The issue of road connectivity between adjoining properties, both residential and commercial neighbors, is important for public safety. We support the commitment of the Planning and Zoning Commission to continue to enforce this policy. The Council Chamber's audio and video system available on the county website is excellent. However, we continue to hear complaints about the clarity of sound here within chambers. Affordable and available housing requires creative thinking and coordinated policy. As Council and the comp plan have recognized, there are many challenges facing this issue. We urge Council to keep the public informed on the progress of the Sussex Sports Center Foundation sports complex to assess the success of public-private partnerships. Agenda item descriptions have greatly improved in recent years. Public hearing items are fully described. However, when those items come up under old business, much of the description is lost and not easily identifiable for the public. And last, planning and zoning meetings have only one agenda available for attendees. It would be helpful if additional printed copies were available at the P&Z meetings. In conclusion, the Observer Corps of the Sussex County League of Women Voters appreciates this opportunity to present these findings to Council, and we will continue our activities again this year. We share with you the goal of continued open and good government for the citizens of Sussex County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Next thing is a consent agenda. We have four items. Wastewater Agreement number 667-4, Sussex County Project number 81-04, Dove Landing Phase 1A, the Millville Expansion of Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Number two, Wastewater Agreement number 667-5, Sussex County Project number 81-04, Dove Landing Phase 1BC, of the Millville Expansion of Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater Agreement number 638-18, Sussex County Project number 81-04, the Estuary, Phase 1C-3A construction record of the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District, and Wastewater Agreement number 1053-5, Sussex County Project number 81-04, Belleterre Pump Station of the Gaza Creek Planning Area. Any questions, concerns? Then motion to approve consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Burton?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to take this time to recognize some of our employees for exceptional customer service. There were 61 employees who received recognition for the third quarter. A committee of supervisors and employees reviewed all the submittals and would like to highlight four employees, three honorable mentions, and one employee of the quarter award. The first employee recognized an honorable mention award is Robin Marvel and Lori Bradley of the paramedic department. Robin and Lori were on call where a teenage girl gave birth in a parking garage of a local hotel. The girl was here for the summer working and had no family nearby. She told Robin and Lori that she was unprepared for the birth of her child, so Robin went to a baby clothing store and personally bought several outfits for the newborn, and Lori bought diapers with her own money. Later, the diapers and outfits were delivered to the mother at the hospital. The next honorable mention award goes to John Sapp of the Constable's Office. In the summer of 2017, John was assigned to a property maintenance complaint on a vacant parcel. The parcel was inherited from a previous owner. Unfortunately, the current owners, the parcel was frequently used as a dump site and accessed by trespassers from the rear where the owners were unable to observe. The owners wanted to get the property cleaned up, but there were limited resources and physical limitations. John helped secure a contractor to remove the bulk items while the owners focused on the scattered debris. John was persistent and patient with the property owners for a year. Rarely do these extreme cases go without court action and hard feelings. Not only did John get the property cleaned up, but John's actions left the owners with a good feeling about county government. Lastly, the next employee received the Employee of the Third Quarter Award. This employee is Alan Shields of the Constable's Office. Alan was assigned to a property to bring it into compliance. The conditions at this property were some of the worst the office had seen in the county in recent years. The property included junk vehicles, large volumes of trash, and tall grass. To make matters worse, the occupant of the property avoided initial contact with the office. All indicators pointed toward mental health and substance abuse problems. Through Alan's persistence, he was able to establish a relationship with the occupant and offered encouragement, guidance, and suggestions on how the owner could correct these violations. All the countless visits and coaching by Alan paid off when his latest inspection showed no violations. In addition, Alan found out the occupant has gotten a job and found some stability in his life. Alan's efforts in improving the conditions around the county are greatly appreciated. These are just four of the 61 customer service awards county employees received. Now we would like to recognize the four employee winners with a picture of Mr. Lawson and Mr. Vincent, followed by a group picture. So if the four winners, if you're here, if you can come up and get a picture first, please. Now a group shot. That's it.
All the staff that are here that have been recognized, you come up after this shot, please. Okay, group shot, please. Come on up.
Did you get your group shot? Can I go and get your group shot? You get them.
Locking everybody out.
Hey, Mike, tell that tall boy to get back here. Pat him on the head, tell him to the wrong place. You got control of that, Mike. No strange shoulders. Tall as where?
Tall
one here in front. That's on Tumby. Get that one in the car. Hit him, Mike.
Dear Lord. All right.
We're going to, that clock says 10:30, that says 10:29. We're going to move to move up the agenda to our advertised 10:30 public hearing. I'm sure people here have taken off from work to come here or whatever, so we're going to try to get you through as soon as we can. So, Mr. Moore, it's 10:30.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for public hearing on an ordinance to amend Chapter 99, Article 1 and 3, Roman numeral Section 99.5 and 99-16 of the Code of Sussex County relating to forested and/or landscape buffers, commonly just referred to as a buffer ordinance. If you desire to speak on this, please come to the front, give us your name and address. Sign on this. We're not quite ready for the speakers yet. You need to sign up when you do speak. But first, we're going to have a short presentation from Mr. Burton, who was the person who was the impetus behind this. And then Ms. Cornwell and Mr. Robertson are both here. Ms. Cornwell, Director of Planning and Zoning. Mr. Robertson, the Assistant County Attorney and the Attorney for Planning and Zoning Commission. After all the presentation is over, the council could act on this today, or they could delay for a later date. And at this time, Mr. Burton.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Moore. I have introduced this ordinance, so I'll give kind of my synopsis as to why I feel this ordinance should be adopted. And to furthermore, to really state, you know, what this ordinance is and what it is not, right? So the county currently has a 20-foot buffer ordinance that surrounds all subdivisions. So this change would take that from 20 to 40, right? So 20 feet is from me to Gina. And so that's the girl on the end. And so you know, it would essentially just double that, and you know, that's not really that far.
Not for 40 feet. Sam.
The county allows, in the current ordinance, the county allows the open space calculation to include the 20-foot buffer. This doesn't change. So the open space calculation is still calculated whether it's 20 or 40. The county also allows the density calculation to be included in the buffers. So this doesn't change. So the buffer goes from 20 to 40, you can still count that into the density calculation. This ordinance encourages the preservation of the existing trees by allowing them to be used in the planning calculation. So this, you know, this will really help preserve the trees that are there. The ordinance adds to the planning calculations due to its additional 20 feet. This ordinance does not change the ability to adjust the 40 feet under circumstances that cannot be controlled. So currently in the 20-foot buffer, if there is something that's the subdivision or the lot has a a nuance in it, and it just really doesn't work for some reason. We have a mechanism to be respectful to the property owners, to look at it, to say, hey, you know, this fits most, but it doesn't fit this one. So the ordinance will create a buffer, and buffers will add to quality of life. The buffers do a myriad of things. It's not just one thing that makes this a needed ordinance. It's the combination of all things that buffers do and create. So buffers help in the following way. The tree lines create a rural look and feel of the area. They give our natural habitat a place to live. They add to air quality, natural beauty. It adds to the quality of development. It adds to impervious surface. And the list goes on. I mean, buffers really do a lot. For many years, I've listened to subdivision application when a development is proposed, preserving a buffer, and it's touted to and pointed out almost as an amenity or a gift. It's really, they really signal it. Look what we're doing here, and it's great. But when the buffer is questioned, it quickly goes to, well, that's your code. And bam, so it's a real good thing when it's available, but when it's not, it's just 25 feet, that's it, I'm sorry. So, you know, I think this addresses that. This ordinance has caused a lot of conversation, like a lot of conversation, but not one person has said that buffers are bad in any way. Nobody has said, let's go from 20 to 10. Yeah, so, you know, I think that there's an agreement that buffers are good. And so we've spoken about buffers for the last 15 years in all of our comp plans. Citizens from all districts have stood before planning and zoning and county council speaking of buffers. And as developments move into more rural areas, do we want to lose the rural look? Sussex County is a great place, and this ordinance will help maintain that quality.
Thank you. Ms. Cornwell.
Good morning. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on August 9th of this year regarding the proposed ordinance change. At that hearing, they received several letters of support, and there were also several people in opposition to the proposed ordinance. At that time, they deferred for further consideration. They have since deferred again, so they are still considering the ordinance. They have not made a recommendation. I will let you know that we have received a total of 75 letters in support of the proposed ordinance and 9 letters that have concern or that are in opposition to the proposed ordinance. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Robertson, was there anything that you needed to add?
No, I don't think so. Actually, Mr. Burton covered pretty much what the ordinance does. It goes from 20 to 40 feet. Of course, if it's expanding the width of the buffer, currently in our code, there is a requirement for 15 trees staggered every 100 feet. That's proposed to bump up to 25 trees. One of the things that the ordinance does do, and this was something that Mr. Burton, I think, felt strongly about, was promotes the maintenance of existing vegetation so that if you have existing trees or a hedgerow along the perimeter of the what would be a subdivision, you could use that instead of going out and planting 25 trees every 100 feet with the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission to sort of, I think as Mr. Burton said, preserve that vegetation. So really that's it. You know, we have an extensive buffer ordinance in Chapter 99 now that applies to subdivisions and can also apply to residential conditional uses. It really doesn't change that except for increasing that number from 20 feet to 40 feet.
And you just explained it's required where and it's not required other. It's just an option.
Where
is it required?
For any major subdivision, it is required.
Okay, give us examples for everybody. So what's a major subdivision?
Major subdivision is of lots 5 or more. Major subdivision that requires a public hearing.
Okay.
So all of those types of subdivisions are required to provide the forested landscape buffer. Typically, when you see an RPC, RPCs are also follow the subdivision code, so they would also be required to provide the forested landscape buffer. And typically, it is a condition of approval on multifamily that go through a conditional use.
It's not required.
It's not required, but it is a typical condition that you see on many conditional uses for multifamily.
And the zoning code does state that on residential conditional uses, they can apply the subdivision buffer requirement. So that it's not a requirement, but it's set forth in the code to consider it.
Mm-hmm.
For conditional uses.
Are there any other questions from council?
If we get ready to, if you get ready to move trees, does that mean you have to come get a permit?
We do not require a permit for the removal of trees.
Does that mean they might be added in later?
If it,
as it's working now?
If trees are shown on an approved plan, we will go out and verify that those trees are either remained or planted.
So that means you'd have to come out and look see if the trees are planted right away.
Right, and we do that now.
We do that.
We do that now.
Been doing it.
Any other questions from council before we open it up to the public? I've noticed that some people have been signing in at the back. Those have already signed in. We'll start taking them in order. Have you finished your presentation? Okay. So those that had already signed up, whoever's the first one on the list, won't you come up and come to the podium, give us your full name and address, please, and then give us your comments. The second podium has been set up in the back to kind of keep things moving as so you can sign up and be ready in the queue, ready to come forward. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mr. President, Council, members, and staff. My name is Richard Holtkamp. I live in Painters Mill, Milton, Delaware address. I appreciate this opportunity to represent the SARGE group, the Sussex Alliance for Responsible Growth, and as a private resident of this county. And we appreciate this opportunity to add our support to the aforementioned buffer amendment. As you are well aware, the SARGE group has been actively involved in the preparation of the current draft of the 2018 County Comprehensive Plan. We have worked to have at least one of our members present at each hearing of the Planning and Zoning Commission and this County Council. We have made numerous comments, which hopefully were taken as being constructive and supportive to this very important plan. In addition, we have engaged as many of our county residents as possible in this process and encouraged them to express their own thoughts and suggestions. And I'm pleased to hear that today we've gotten verification of that, that a lot of people have taken the time to support this important amendment. From the very beginning, residents have made it clear they want to see significant, progressive, and corrective changes in three main areas: land use, transportation, and conservation. The most recent polling shows that almost 70% of our engaged residents continue to be most interested in these three top elements. We now have a well-defined, comprehensive plan to work with. And the challenge now is to begin to implement this phase of this plan. Our residents in this council need and expect results. What better time than now to consider the many benefits of a new buffer ordinance and approve it wholeheartedly, addressing land use and conservation in one action. It has been 30 years since a buffer ordinance has been implemented. Our county needs and deserves an update to bring us into the 21st century. Okay, so what are the benefits of increasing the 20-foot buffer to 40 feet? Here are the reasons that the majority of our residents, and hopefully you, feel are valid and deserve support. Increasing the buffer between subdivisions will maintain and enhance the rural character and feel of our county. It will help provide additional space for wildlife and enhance the quality of our air and water resources. The addition of more trees and appropriate vegetation will improve the overall landscaped outlook of our developments. Rather than remove and destroy, this will help protect and preserve. It will provide more privacy and enhanced security between our subdivisions. It will add value to land and home ownership. Higher property values will translate directly into more transfer tax revenue for our county. It will permanently set a new, higher standard of development in our county. Beyond these benefits, we should also address some other factors involved with this ordinance. The same number of units will still be allowed on a parcel as before. Existing developments will remain the same. Home supply will not be hindered. Surely development applications will not decline just because of this ordinance. There are already thousands of new homes in the pipeline, and with all the open space still available in our county, development opportunities are still almost boundless for the foreseeable future. Look at the buffer ordinances in Sussex County, our county, and compare them with Newcastle and Kent counties, along with neighboring states of New Jersey and Maryland. Our proposed buffer increase is small compared to these. In hindsight, those ordinance decisions are now deemed to be very worthwhile with high levels of satisfaction, high degrees of value for everybody involved. They were opposed at the beginning, and now that they've been in place, the results have been very well documented. We should at least join the other Delaware state counties, learn from their success, and achieve some level of consistency statewide. Now, there's always another side of the coin. Surely no change goes unchallenged. In researching the record, we find opposition from the development, realty, and even from some current home and open land sectors. We don't need to cite the many objections here, now since you already know most of them all, and suffice it to say, in summary, the opponents feel increasing the buffer will only add costs and not provide the environmental or character improvements that have also been submitted for the record. The resident majority feels the new buffer ordinance will be beneficial in many ways. Adding value to our land will benefit everyone. Preserving more open space will help our environment and wildlife. Enhance our character and, very importantly, begin the process of implementing the new comprehensive plan. This will be a strong signal to our residents that positive change is on the way. This ordinance will make such a significant positive difference that we and future residents will say, we did the right thing. This council serves many constituents, and you must listen to and consider all information and opinions. We all place our trust in you to make the best decisions possible for the benefit of most and not just for some. Having spent many hours with you in this chamber, listening to all of the deliberations, we have the strong sense that this council is committed to making the changes that will benefit the current and future residents of our county. In that spirit, we urge you to adopt this ordinance at the earliest opportunity and begin the process of achieving those important objectives you have worked so hard to develop. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next speaker, Mr. Guy, you have the list in front of you. Do you know who's listed next?
Yes.
What's the next name?
Yeah, won't you call the next name too, please?
The next name would be James LaBella, and then after that, Thomas Powell.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
Sorry. Good morning. Rich Barrasso, Milton, also a member of the Sussex Alliance for Responsible Growth, SARG. I had an opportunity, I did not have the opportunity to attend the August 9th Planning and Zoning meeting,
But in the spirit and the commitment by the, from the county in terms of open government, the audio was available, and I went back and I listened to it. One of the things that I was a bit surprised was that there was a number of speakers that did speak weren't clear in terms of what the amendment was trying to accomplish. They said, what is it that you're trying to accomplish? I thought it was quite clear in the way the amendment was written. And two real important points in terms of the whereas in the amendment. Such buffers will maintain the rural and agricultural appearance of Sussex County. Secondly, it went on to say that it would provide residents with additional continuous open space along the perimeter of all subdivisions, thereby improving the visual landscape of the county. So I went back and I asked myself, with the work that was done, the comprehensive plan, how consistent are we moving forward? To Rich Holcamp's point, with the hours that a lot of people put into the comprehensive plan. So I went back to the comprehensive plan. Again, open government, available online. And I pulled up the future land use vision. And in this future land use vision, it states to provide for balanced and well-planned future growth and development that supports the county's economic development goals while preserving the rural character of the county and its natural resources. I said to myself, the effort in terms of the amendments, that's pretty consistent with the work that was done with the comprehensive plan. So I went back to the tape again, and I listened to some of the opposition to the amendment, and I found one in particular. It was from the Sussex County Association of Realtors. And there were two reasons why they thought that this amendment was not acceptable. One of those reasons was that reducing the area available for home ownership would mean that there would be fewer properties for future purchases. With a national housing shortage per the National Association of Realtors, reducing the area available for future homes would continue to cause a local shortage in residential housing units. So again, I went back to the comprehensive plan. And in the comprehensive plan, in the text, it states that approximately 95,000 acres of Sussex County are currently developed, 227,000 acres protected. This leaves approximately 256,000 acres, a quarter of a million acres, that are either undeveloped or in farmland. The plan goes on to say that while the county has an abundance of undeveloped land to meet the acreage needs of anticipated future development, the county, through its land use plan, would like to encourage that more of the future development occurs in the growth areas in order to help preserve the character and of the rural areas. A quarter of a million acres. I challenge the fact that there may be a national shortage, and it may be in San Francisco or Seattle or Dallas. There's certainly no national shortage or a local shortage. There's not a Sussex County shortage with regards to land to be developed. I appreciate the opportunity to share my thoughts with the council. I have only one other request, and that is, regardless of what happens today, if it is deferred, that the record be kept open. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Moore?
The next person.
We had a few people sign up under the public comment mistakenly at the beginning of the meeting. I think it would be fair for those folks to start next. Ms. Sue Claire Harper, and then Robert Harris, and then R.C. Willing.
Yes, and then what we're going to do, so people don't try to come forward and sign on the list up here, it will go in the back. Some people had previously signed. That's why we were trying to work through that list. Then after that, just sign up before you speak, or maybe one or two before you speak, so that we can keep the flow going. Yes.
Good morning. I am Sue Claire Harper. I'm a resident of Rehoboth Beach, and I'm also here as a representative of the League of Women Voters of Sussex County. I serve as co-chair of the Land Use Committee. First, I would like to state the National League's formal position on the environment. So I can share with you our perspective of our organization. And I quote, "As citizens of the world, we must protect our planet from the physical, economic, and public health effects of climate change, while also providing pathways to economic prosperity." Since the 1960s, the League has been at the forefront of efforts to protect air, land, and water resources. The League played a pivotal role in the adoption of the federal 1970 Clean Air Act and the 1972 Clean Water Act during the presidency of Richard Nixon. In signing the 1970 Clean Air Act, President Nixon stated, and I quote, he had done so, "to foster the growth of a strong American economy and industry while improving human health and the environment." President Nixon clearly had a vision of the future, long-term benefits of this legislation. The League's approach to environmental protection and pollution control is one of problem solving. Our environmental goals aim to prevent ecological degradation and to reduce and control pollutants. With that history in mind, I will state our League's full support of Councilman Burton's proposed buffer ordinance. Following President Nixon's lead, I will cite some of the specific reasons why increased buffers would foster the growth of a strong Sussex economy while improving human health and environment for current and future Sussex residents. And you all have a copy of what I will be reading, which, as I indicated, I adapted from the website Tree People, Tree Benefits. Trees combat climate change. Excess carbon dioxide is building up on our atmosphere, contributing to climate change. Trees absorb carbon dioxide, removing and storing the carbon while releasing oxygen back into the air. You probably learned that in your basic botany classes. In 1 year, an acre of mature trees absorbs the same amount of carbon dioxide produced when you drive your car 26,000 miles. That's a substantial amount of CO2 sequestration. Trees clean the air. They absorb odors and pollutant gases, which include nitrogen oxides, ammonia, sulfur dioxide, and ozone, and they filter particulates out of the air by trapping them in their leaves and bark. Trees provide oxygen, as I stated earlier, in the respiration exchange. An acre of mature trees provide enough oxygen for 18 people. Trees cool the environment. Although I couldn't find any statistics on rural issues of raising the temperature, something we all might be very sensitive to following this past August. But in the city of Los Angeles, for example, average temperatures have risen 6 degrees Fahrenheit in the past 50 years as tree coverage has declined and the number of heat-absorbing roads and buildings has increased. There is no way to compare Sussex County to Los Angeles, but I think the underlying principles stand.
You got that right.
Trees cool the city by up to 10 degrees Fahrenheit, shading homes and streets, something we're all aware of if we're privileged to have trees on our property. Trees conserve energy. Three trees placed strategically around a single-family home can cut summer air conditioning needs by up to 50%. By reducing the energy demand for cooling our houses, we reduce carbon dioxide production and other pollution emissions from power plants. Now, what I think is pivotal under number 6, trees for Sussex County, trees help prevent water pollution. They reduce runoff by breaking rainfall, thus allowing the water to flow down the trunk and into the earth below the tree. This prevents storm water from carrying pollutants to the ocean. When mulched, trees act like a sponge that filters this water naturally and uses it to recharge groundwater supplies. And as Rich Holcamp cited in his prior presentation, trees increase property values. The beauty of a well-planted neighborhood and surrounding land can raise property values by as much as 15%, and I've included at least two of the many, many sources that substantiate this. As I think you're probably aware, small towns across our nation strive to qualify for the coveted designation Tree City USA. This award enhances every city's attractiveness, big and small, for both current and future residents. As Councilman Burton stated and as Rich Holtzkamp echoed, trees with adjoining green space provide a canopy and habitat for wildlife, providing homes for Delaware State wildlife, which I learned the state wildlife animal is the gray fox, raccoons, chipmunks, birds, and bees, and other native species. Trees block noise. They muffle sound from adjoining homes and nearby streets, as well as nearby developments, and create an eye-soothing canopy of green. They absorb dust, wind, and reduce glare. Trees save water. It slows that water evaporation from thirsty lawns when you have a tree shading it. Trees prevent soil erosion on hillsides or stream slopes. They slow runoff and hold soil in place. They shield people from ultraviolet rays. Skin cancer is the most common form of cancer in the United States, and trees reduce UV exposure by about 50%, providing protection for all ages. And finally, it maybe goes without saying, but I'm going to conclude by saying trees are beautiful. I purchased my property because it is heavily treed, although it's a very small lot. And I think my perspective is shared by many current residents and also the residents who have yet to come here who will be benefited by the adoption of this ordinance. I thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, Robert Harris. After that is Mr. R.C. Willen.
Good morning. My name is Robert Harris. I'm a resident of Bethany Beach and a developer. I've been developing properties in this part of Sussex County for over 30 years. And I'm coming here today because I'm in opposition to this ordinance. I see no evidence that taking an additional 20 feet of property from landowners will, to quote the ordinance, benefit the health, safety, and welfare of Sussex County and its residents by providing additional contiguous open space along the perimeter of all subdivisions, thereby improving the visual landscape of the county. Right now, we have a buffer ordinance that requires a 20-foot wooded buffer around these subdivisions. A properly planted 20-foot buffer provides all the visual protection that a 40-foot buffer provides. There's no reason to expect that these buffers will be of any benefit to the residents in terms of access. If you have a buffer that is within a lot, you certainly don't want to have individuals walking on your lot, accessing your portion of your lot. If it is not part of someone's lot, then there is the requirement that someone, somewhere, is going to have to take care of these trees and this buffer. Trees require a lot of care, they require a lot of water, and they require a lot of maintenance. And the idea that people will be wandering around amongst the trees in an open area, which is outside of a lot, is problematic. There's no justification for requiring property owners to give up an additional 20 feet. There's no evidence that there is a groundswell of demand for extra buffers for homeowners in new subdivisions. The claim that a 40-foot buffer is good certainly means that a 50-foot buffer or a 100-foot buffer is even better. So what is the